live broadcast from A3 Farm Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Mark Bergsma will bring a message in the Day of Palms and Tears from Scripture found in Luke 19:28-45. This is Beth Coops inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Palm Sunday worship here at 8th. And of course, a warm welcome to all of our 8th family, but also to those who might be visiting with us today. We extend a special welcome to you. We're glad that the Lord led you here. Whether you know it or not, the Holy Spirit is responsible for you being here. He puts a little tug on our hearts and gathers us together from week to week. And we rejoice in that. It's great to be the body of Christ all together. So we look forward to not only the worship today, but I'll mention in a minute or two here the worship experiences that are coming up in this special Holy Week. Also, welcome to those who are joining us via Jethro Radio. We have a lot of faithful listeners out there who listen on the radio each week, and we say welcome to them. You're a part of us. Thank you for being a part of us. If you ever get a chance to come in person, we're delighted to welcome you that way too, but we welcome you this morning through the radio. Also, those who join us through YouTube and through Jethro.fm on the internet, we say welcome. There are several announcements I want to share with you today. Some of them maybe didn't make it into the bulletin. Most of them did. First of all, there's a special Sunday school class today, and Amy West, one of our newest attendees, is going to be leading that. She's going to share about a recent trip she took to Guatemala. The important thing to remember here is it's going to take place downstairs in the fellowship room at about 11 o'clock. Also, coffee and cookies are downstairs. Remember that shift of a couple of weeks ago, and we'll join you down there for coffee. Choir members, no choir practice today at 11 o'clock. Take note of that. And then a special invitation to the Maundy Thursday service on Thursday. If you're not familiar with Maundy Thursday, this is the time when we celebrate Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, just hours before he is betrayed and arrested and begins that process that leads ultimately to the cross. So it's a very solemn and sacred time. But it's a special time to observe the Lord's Supper, and we hope that you can be a part of that. That'll be at 7 o'clock on Thursday, so please plan on coming back to take part in Holy Communion on that day. And then, of course, Easter Sunday is next Sunday, and we look forward to worshiping with you and probably the pinnacle of the Christian year as we celebrate Christ's resurrection from the dead. Also, starting next week, nursery, believe it or not, nursery for little kids is beginning, and we look forward to offering that. It's going to open up a lot of possibilities, let's just put it that way, for visitors, and thank you to those in advance who will be staffing that. We look forward to making that available to people, that nursery downstairs. Also, ladies have a spring luncheon coming up, and I'll just mention that it's down the road a little bit, April 24th, but it's worth remembering now to put on your calendars. Wilma Quist is going to be involved in that, and our hat lady, and there's lots of fun. Those of you who have been a part of that in the past know that that's something to look forward to. We begin our worship today with a call to worship, and it's going to be something that you can join me with on, if you take out your hymnal, number 298. Right after that, we're going to sing just two pages. One, flip the page over, number 300 will be our opening song. But there on 298 is our call to worship today. Will you join me? As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna in the highest. And flip the page over, and our first song is All Glory, Laud, and Honor, number 300. Standing to sing. As we gather today, we do so with great joy, remembering that special day when you entered into the city of Jerusalem and began that series of events that led ultimately to your ultimate sacrifice on our behalf. Father, we're going to try to wrap our minds around that week as we begin in worship today. And we pray that you'll just open us to the love that you poured down from heaven as, Father, you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but experience eternal life. Father, it all comes together now in the events before us, and we look forward to being together, having your word open before us, and having your presence with us. We look forward to that, and we pray now that you'll bless this service of worship, bless the choir as they sing, bless us as we pray, and open our hearts to you and your word. And we pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Grace to you now and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated.
Amen.
Thank you, choir. And thank you, Paul. You bet. It's always such a joy to be a part of the choir. A couple of announcements here regarding our sick that did not make the bulletin. I'll go over the ones that did, but in addition, Ron Benedict, as he's been quite sick the last few days, is not improving, and so pray for Ron. Joe Amthor had a detached retina, and he's going to have surgery on Monday on that detached retina. Betty Holmes has been at Trinity Hospital since last Monday undergoing different treatments for various health concerns that she has. And then Brian Bruxfort, a missionary in Alaska who's supported by our church, has been diagnosed with prostate cancer and has an appointment at Mayo Clinic on Monday the 30th. And continue to pray for our missionaries in general. Along with that, our sympathy to Mel Kotsir and his brother passed away just recently, his only brother Ken, so we remember Mel during a time of mourning. Also, other health concerns, Barb Engels, some foot problems while they're in Florida. Mark Davis, a very serious condition here, has been diagnosed with cancer, will begin undergoing chemo and radiation treatments for stage 4 cancer in a very serious situation. Please remember Mark in your prayers. And then Mark Kirkstra, Paul's son, also diagnosed with cancer and is going to be having surgery on the 21st of April. Bob Yonkers, who is Cindy Ralph and Deb Jacobson's father, has been placed on a new medication regarding his heart, and please pray as he adjusts to that. And then Mel Vanderwest continues under hospice care. Lots of people to be concerned about and to pray for. One of the reasons God brings us together as a church is for, of course, the mutual support that we receive as we gather and worship like this, but it's also so we can pray for each other. And if you've been on the receiving end of this, you know how important this is. You felt it, and it is a tremendous thing. As I visit with people and they say, yeah, boy, when I went through that last week or last month, I could really and truly experience the love, the concern, and the prayers of God's people. And so pray diligently for these folks that I've mentioned and the folks that are listed in the bulletin. Keep up with them. God listens, and God's heart is touched when we care for each other in that way. Let's spend some time in prayer. Father, it is so good for us to be together, and we know that it's your Holy Spirit that pulls us together each Lord's Day. We feel that draw. We feel that coaxing of the Holy Spirit, Father, and it's a joy to respond to that. When we're physically not able to be here, Father, we confess to you that something's missing. And so we just rejoice in the times that we do spend together. Father, as we look forward to this coming week, we just marvel at the love that you poured out on us when you sent your only begotten Son into this world. We marvel as we read about his life, the many miracles that he performed, the people that he touched and healed, those who experienced a life change just by being in his presence. We think, Father, of the magnificent words that he spoke, eternal words, and people could sense it as they listened to him. Thank you, Father, that we can rehearse those words even today and know that you're just as close to us today as you were to the people back then. Fathers, we look forward to Thursday night. We do so with a sense of awe, remembering that experience that we will share that night, participating in the Lord's Supper, will unite us to Jesus in a special way. As he gives us his body and blood to be a part of us forever. Father, that is something that just strengthens our faith. And we look forward to that experience. We pray that you'll be with that worship service as we think about Jesus and what he was thinking about as he broke that bread at the end of the Passover celebration and poured that wine and shared it with his disciples for that last time. And then we think of Good Friday. We think of the horror of that day and how they took your son and brutalized him until he was not even recognizable. And yet, Father, we think about the glory of that day. And you, Father, in your word have told us that that was the pinnacle of Jesus' glory when he died on the cross. It demonstrated so powerfully how much you love us. It accomplished so much, Father, that we can't even begin to describe it. We'll spend all of eternity exploring the power that was poured out and the changes that it brought about in us as Jesus died on the cross for us. And then we look forward to next Sunday, Father. It's the joyous Easter celebration when we can together celebrate new life and the promise that we have that our lives will not end when we take our last breath, but will go seamlessly on into eternity. Thank you, Father, that we have the best to look forward to, that no matter what we're experiencing or going through today, the best lies ahead of us. And we know that we'll again experience life as you created it to be experienced in all of its fullness, and our senses will be opened up 1,000 times more than they are right now to take in all the beauty and the wonder of your creation and your special place for us. All of that just thrills us, Father, as we think about it. And this week will bring it all home to us in a very powerful and a very special way. Father, our hearts go out in a special way today to the people who are experiencing pain in various ways. We think of Mel and the loss of his brother, and we thank you, Father, for being close to us during those difficult times when we have to say our earthly goodbyes to someone that we love. We think also of Barb and Mark and Mark and Bob and the acute problems that they're facing. Think especially of Mark Davis and the treatments that he'll be undergoing. And Father, just be near to these folks as they experience things that we just take for granted, our lives and our health and strength sometimes, Father. And when it's in jeopardy, when it's missing, when we hurt, we're reminded of just how much we live with each day by way of your blessing. Think also of Mel Vander West. He's under hospice care, and we ask that you'd be close to him. We think of David and Michelle, and we think of Bob and Aria, we think of Ruth and Shane and Brian and Ruth and Cindy and Doug and Betty and Mel and Ron and Lorraine and Ron and Jenny and so many others from our congregation, Father, who live with pain as a daily companion. Our hearts go out to them, and we pray that you will be close to them. And we always pray, Father, for your healing power to be shown in us, that we might praise you and thank you for the power you demonstrate. We pray for the worship services that are coming up, and we pray that many may attend and experience your presence in a very, very powerful way, that their faith may be strengthened. Thank you for each other and for the encouragement that we receive as we say hi to each other from week to week and day to day. Thank you for our missionaries, and we remember them, Father. They have a special commissioning from you, and they go forth to carry the good news of the gospel to many places around the world. Thank you that we have a part in supporting that and praying for them and supporting them monetarily. Continue to be with us as we function as a congregation in this community. And may many, Father, experience the gospel because of the ministry of Eighth and all the people that contribute to it. May they experience Jesus. We're a Jesus church, and we proclaim proudly the name, the ministry, the love of your own Son, our Savior and our Lord. Be close to us now, and we pray as we close this prayer with the words that Jesus gave us when he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to sing again, number 297, standing to sing, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Thank you. The scripture that we'll be looking at today is found in Luke chapter 19, and we'll be reading verses 28 through 45. If you want to turn to that now, I promise we'll get to it, but I want to say some things first. Studying the scriptures is a little like mining for gold, panning for gold. You know, you've seen it. I've never done it before, I confess, but I have seen it in movies. I've seen how it's done. I've read on it. You find yourself a flowing stream in fertile country where gold has been known to have been found. And then you take your shovel and you wade into that stream and you dig down and get a good full shovel full of gravel, pour it into your pan, and then you find a fast-flowing part of the stream, and you take that pan and start to shake it and put it under that flowing water. And the sand and the dirt and the gravel, the small gravel and pebbles, will wash out of there. And if you're fortunate, if you're in a good area, you look down into that pan and there may be some tiny flecks of bright gold. You may have to do it 100 times or 200 times before that gold appears, but when it does, you carefully pluck that gold out of your pan and put it into your little bag. That's your stash. And when you get enough gold in there, you can fund your life. You can pay the doctor. You can buy food. You can purchase what you need to live. It facilitates your life. You collect it carefully and you guard it and you treasure it because that represents your ticket to life. Now, Scripture, kind of the same thing. You wade into the Scriptures and you choose a certain spot. You don't try to cover too much. And you dig down with your shovel and you get a good shovel full of Scripture. And then you put it in your pan and you pray that God will wash away all of the lesser stuff until just little flecks of gold remain. Little flecks of gold. And then you gather it and you put it in your bag and you cherish it and you guard it with your life. Gold that will enable you to live, that will fund your future. Gold. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus said that. Pure gold. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but experience eternal life. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. Pure gold. And I could go on and on and on and on. When Pastor Harry and I switched Sundays, and by the way, thank you again for accommodating me. Our kids joined church in another place last week, and we were able to experience that. And so I inherited Palm Sunday. And I confess to you, when I realized, yep, I got Palm Sunday. I confess, my first thought was, I know that story so well. I have been down this road so many times. I think I preached on Palm Sunday probably 40 times. And you have that thought, what more could I possibly say? What more could I possibly know about this story? Stop right there. That's a trap from the devil. That is a trap from the devil. And all of us fall for it. We have read passages in the scriptures, and then we think to ourselves, well, I already know that stuff. Why would I ever go back there? I had a professor in seminary, John Pete, who is also a dear friend of mine, and he taught me early on, he taught me a different way of looking at things. When he got done with Bible school, he shipped off to Madras, India, and he became a missionary there for 30 years, living with the very poor in Madras, India. And he said, as a personal discipline, I thought, what I'm going to do is memorize the Gospel of Mark. Any of you ever done that? And he did it. He memorized the Gospel of Mark word for word. And then he preached on it and he taught it. And then he came back to the States and he became a professor at the seminary and I had his class. You know what he said to me? Whenever I go back to the Gospel of Mark now, as well as I know it, word for word, as many times as I preached it, every time I go back to it and I read a passage, every time I take a shovel full of the Gospel of Mark, gold appears. And it comes alive as if for the first time. Now, I want to challenge you going forward. Are you listening to me? Don't fall for that trap of the devil that says, you already know this stuff. You've already read this. You're familiar with that passage. What more could be said about that? You have to go into the scriptures like you're mining for gold, and you're going to find some. And you're going to collect it, and it's going to change your life. You have to believe that going in, and it will. Well, I say all of that in preparation for today because I did that. And as much as I have studied and known the story of Palm Sunday, I got some new insights into it this week that I want to share with you. So turn with me to that passage. It is in Luke chapter 19, and let's just go down through it. And I want to make some preliminary comments, and then I want to make a note or two that really struck me as I studied this. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent went ahead and found it just as he had told them. And as they're untying the colt, the owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. Now here's a thought. Jesus had a plan. He knew in exact detail what was going to happen in the coming days. He knew about that colt being there. He knew about the prophecy in the Old Testament that said when the Messiah comes, he's going to come into town, into Jerusalem, riding on a colt. He knew about his future. He knew about the Last Supper. He knew about his betrayal and Good Friday and all of its horror. And he knew about Easter Sunday. He had a plan. And I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact Jesus had a plan. He knew ahead. He knows our future as well. Do you think about that very often? He knows to the day, to the hour, to the moment when you will transition into eternal life and when I will. And he has a plan for us until that time, a plan that we can begin to understand and live out, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But to think about the fact that Jesus had a plan, we can rest in that. There's security in that. Knowing that the people that he brings into our lives they're not there by accident. They're there because he has a plan for us, and that plan is unfolding. And that plan will have a happy ending for me as a believer and for you. That's a good thought. Moving on. Verse 35, they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he said, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Here's the event itself. The trip into Jerusalem. And what happens? He's honored. Crowds gathered. They did what they could to show their respect for him. They took off their outer garments and put them on the road. They cut palm branches and put them on the road. They wanted to honor him. They sang to him. They praised God for all the miracles they had seen. Their friends who had been healed, food provided, demons cast out, lives changed. It was a festive time, a happy time, a celebrate Jesus kind of moment as he was traveling along. And the Pharisees understood all of this and understood what it all meant. People were acknowledging him to be the Messiah. And they were deeply offended. These are the religious teachers. They were deeply offended. Rebuke your disciples. And I love Jesus' rejoinder. I love it. He said, if these kids be quiet, those stones will speak up. You know what he was really saying to those Pharisees? He is saying, the kids know more than you do. The kids understand who I am more than you do. In fact, these stones know more than you do. Your stubbornness of heart is a disgrace. They all knew and celebrated Jesus, the Messiah, at that moment. And then here's something very interesting. Let's go on a little further. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side, and they'll dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God coming to you. I looked at the Greek here, and he didn't just have tears in his eyes. He was sobbing when he came over that last rise, and now the whole panorama of the city was before him. He started to descend into the Kidron Valley, and there was Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, when he looked at that city and the magnificent walls and the temple in the background, he didn't just see buildings, he saw people, his people, the people that he came to save. And those people, in just a matter of hours, are going to turn on him. And they're going to shout with the Jewish leaders, "Crucify him!" And they're going to be responsible for Jesus being rejected and arrested and persecuted all the way to the cross. And Jesus looks on all of this and he says, "My people, you've missed it. The most important event in the history of the world, my coming into the world, the only opportunity for peace that the world will ever know, the opportunity to be saved and to experience eternal life, to come into God's good graces and be called his son or his daughter, the only time in history that this has ever taken place, and you missed it." And he begins to sob and cry and weep. Now, mind you, he's also thinking about what he's going to endure shortly. He's thinking about the horrors of the next few days and how these very people are going to turn on him, and how the tide of popular opinion is going to turn against him until there's nowhere else to go and he is captured and arrested and falsely accused and tried and brutalized to the point where he's unrecognizable as a human being and then nailed to the cross. That led to his tears too. But it's mostly for his people and their blindness, the fact that they missed this incredible moment in history. Now, I want to say something here. People are still missing it. Even after all these years, after all the preaching, after all of the circulation of Bibles and all the talk about Jesus, people are still missing it. And it ought to make us cry like Jesus. If you were to take a walk around Rivertown Mall right now and just look around, look at the people and say to yourself, how many of these folks didn't miss it? How many of these folks understand that Jesus came and he came for them? Or you take your pick, you can go anywhere. You can go to stores, you can go to different events, you can go to sporting events and see crowds of tens of thousands of people, and you say to yourself, how many of these people have just missed it? They don't get it. They have missed the very event that could possibly change their eternal destiny. And they're oblivious to it. And they're living that way from day to day to day to day. Could care less. That's what caused Jesus tears. And I'm telling you, it ought to cause us to cry too. Just look around. Just be aware. And say to yourself, how many of these people get it? How many of these people appreciate what God has done for them? All right. The real main point of this, and what really struck me as I'm reading it, was this. Jesus came into town in that celebrated way, people waving palm branches and laying their cloaks down, and he marched ultimately into town. Then the scripture says he entered the temple and he got mad at what he saw, because it had become a place of commerce and people were trying to make a buck in the courtyards of the temple by selling at exorbitant rates sacrifice animals, and also taking advantage of people when they changed their dirty money into holy money. They were more concerned about making a buck than they were about honoring God. And Jesus got angry, and you know the story. He raged at the merchants, overturned their tables, and so on. And then it says blind and lame people came to him seeking healing, and he healed them. And then it notes that children cried out and proclaimed him to be the Messiah, and he smiled. And the Jews were offended. And then he left the city. That whole processional into Jerusalem, and he's there for a few hours, and he turns right around and goes back to Bethany to stay with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And I'm saying to myself, I never thought of that before. What was the point of going into Jerusalem if you're just going to turn right around and walk back out of the city and just leave again? Here's the answer. Jesus was fulfilling the words of Scripture. He was fulfilling prophecies about him, as he did throughout his life. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, it constantly makes reference to the Old Testament and basically says, and Jesus lived in fulfillment of these words. He did it throughout his entire life. He was conscious of what had been written about him, and he lived it out. He was living out his destiny. Psalm 22, verse 1, you know what that says? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was written 1,000 B.C., and Jesus lived it out as he hung and died on the cross. And again, we run into this. I'm the one who is living out the Scriptures. I'm here. I'm living out the Old Testament prophecies. Jesus had this deep awareness of what the Scriptures in the Old Testament said about him, and he lived it out to the fullest. And that's what Palm Sunday is really all about. Jesus living out the words that were written about him. Now, I say all of this because it applies to us. We tend to read Scripture, We tend to study Scripture, we memorize Scripture, we believe in Scripture, we hold on to Scripture. But I'm wondering if we ever live it out and make an effort to live it out. And I read these incredible biographies. Judy and I went to see a movie this week about the Great Awakening. And it was incredible. George Whitefield, he gets converted. And his whole life changes. And suddenly he's telling the crowds, wherever they'll gather to listen to him, I'm living out the Word of God. I'm not here by accident. I discovered myself in the pages of Scripture. And I can't help but do what I'm doing. Martin Luther did the same thing. He's headed for a career as a lawyer. And then as becomes a priest. And then he discovers that God's Word has another role for him to play as a reformer and as a teacher and as a preacher, bringing in the great truths of the Reformation. And he said, I'm living right in the middle of it, and I've got to keep on doing what I'm doing because I know I'm in the center of the will of God. That's a tremendous feeling to have, a tremendous feeling that you're actually living out your destiny, that you're living out Scripture, not just studying it, but living it out. Stephen had the same experience. Paul had the same experience. He gets before King Agrippa and he says, King Agrippa, I had one direction in my mind that I wanted to go with my life. And then he said, God got a hold of me. And I discovered in the Scriptures that he had a different plan for my life, and I began to plug into that plan and live it out. And you know the result of that. Millions and millions and millions of people have been saved for all eternity because of Paul's realizing that he needed to live out his destiny as God laid it out for him. I remember talking to a woman one time. She was reading in her personal devotions in the Sermon on the Mount. And she gets to the Beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And she said it was like a light bulb went on. All of a sudden, I get this flash from heaven. And she said, my family's a mess. I got kids that won't talk to each other. My family is so strained and dysfunctional. And I have been content to just sit back and let that happen, and all of a sudden, she's living out her destiny as a peacemaker. And she said, I knew when I started to take some steps in that direction that I was right smack in the middle of God's will for me. And there is no other feeling like that in the entire world. I had a birthday last week. Thank you so much for the many cards I received. I can't tell you how many stack about that high. And I got one just yesterday from dear friends, from Abe. And I pick it up and open it. And the very cover of it says, a blessing for you. You are in God's place at God's perfect time. He has gifted you and placed his hand upon you to bless you and make you a blessing. Whoa. Can you imagine how that made me feel when I read it? That was incredible. That was a message indirectly that I got from God. And every one of us can learn from Jesus in this respect. Jesus fulfilled Scripture when he climbed on that colt's back and when he marched into town. He was living out his destiny, and he knew what was ahead of him. That week of betrayal and cruelty and suffering and tears and blood and the cross, he did what he had done throughout his life. He lived out Scripture. He had a deep awareness of Scripture, and his whole life was connected to it. And now he says, "He who would come after me must take up his cross and follow me." And that means living out Scripture, living out our destiny, what he's called us for, what he's planned us for, discovering that. There are literally hundreds of little nuggets of gold in the Scriptures that you're going to find, and some of them are going to hit you in an extra special way, and you're going to say, "Whoa, that one's got my name on it. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's where I'm supposed to go. That's what I'm supposed to be. And I need to live out that Scripture." Well, Palm Sunday was a festive day. It was Jesus' last day as a respected leader of the Jewish people, as a teacher and a national hero, before everything turned on him, before everything turned sour on him. The palm branches were spread, the kids were singing, and they were celebrating, they had their cloaks on the road, Jesus is seated on the colt, and he's got tears streaming down his face because he knows that the people that he's going to see in just moments as he enters the city don't get it and have missed the time of their visitation from heaven. He knows also about the horrors he'll be facing, about the fact that God's word, his prayer to God is about to be answered in a way that he truly prayed it wouldn't be, but he finally said, "Thy will be done," and his will was going to be done, and it was going to be the cross. He was living out his destiny, and he taught us to search for ours, to find it and to live it out. "Take up your cross and follow me," he said. Find those special nuggets of Scripture and then live out your destiny as you understand them. What a day. Thank God for our faithful Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we think about Jesus and we think about that fateful ride into Jerusalem, we thank you for his faithfulness. We thank you for the fact that he knew what was coming. He had a plan, and he would, Father, live out that plan so that we might be free forever. And we thank you for Jesus and his love for us and what he did. Be near to us now as we continue on into this holy week. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 295, tell me the story of Jesus.
Thank you.
I'm going to invite the deacons to come forward and receive the morning offering. Father, as we gather this offering, we thank you for the privilege of sharing in the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we're a church who is a part of that work, and that you will promise to use these funds now to open the gospel, open the door, open the awareness of people to Jesus and what he's done for them. We pray that you'll bless them toward that end and multiply them and use them mightily, that many may come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. We pray that in his name, amen. After the benediction, the closing song is going to be 301, We Will Glorify, just a praise chorus. So receive God's blessing. The peace now that comes from knowing Jesus, the peace that passes all understanding, may that peace go with you and be with you and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.